give you a couple verses just to show that God has created us to be part of his family. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. God wants you to be part of his family, friends. He wants you to be part of his family. He's got an open door policy. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how much failure is in your life. He wants you to be part of his family. Hebrews 2:11 says, Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. That's why he's not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. 1 Peter 1:3, God has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family. 1 Timothy 3:15, that family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. Romans 12:5, right across the page. We belong to each other and each of us needs the others. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, you should be like one big happy family. I'm going to say that again, all right? You should be like one big happy family. Yeah. Happy family. Sounds like it is a Chinese restaurant dish, isn't it? Happy family. I told you I get distracted sometimes. Full of sympathy toward each other. I mean, at least there's no helicopter out here today, all right? Full of sympathy. I didn't tell you this, but I was preaching along last time I was here, and I looked out, I get kind of like this, and I'm looking out, and there was a helicopter sitting right in the driveway. It was sitting there, and it just blew me away. And I'm like, why is there a helicopter? Anyway, all right, happy families, little ADD. You should be like one big happy family full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. And by the way, Tommy and I talk about this all the time. Because we're the parents, she uses the phrase the grown-ups, usually about herself more than me, but because we're the grown-ups, we believe that it's our responsibility that we always should put our own interests aside and no matter what, no matter even if we know that the one of the kids is wrong, we will always do whatever we can because we know we're the parents and we should act like the parents. And folks, if you're here and you've been saved a long time and you're a leader in this church, or even if you're not, let me just say this to you. Act like a grown-up. Put your big boy pants on, all right? Put your big girl pants on and suck it up and get over it. And stop, getting all bent out of shape over this, that, and the other thing and act like the mature Christian you're supposed to be. It goes from preaching to meddling, as they say, but that's all right. Our Father is the Lord. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And what does that mean? There's some things that go along with that. We should then have genetic similarities. If we are all brothers and sisters, we should share. That's why wherever you go, no matter if you go, to another country, I have been privileged to preach in churches through Germany. And Karis went with me, and it was great. And I couldn't speak German to save my life. But you know what? There was no doubt that I was among family members. You're going to what, Guatemala or Nicaragua? And you'll meet Christians there, and well, you actually can speak Spanish a little bit, right? And you'll go there, and you will feel like you're with La Familia. Because we share those similarities. I was listening to a sermon. I do listen to sermons, not just to myself. In fact, I never listen to myself, all right? Anyway, and the pastor was talking about this, and he was talking about, did you ever notice that couples who've been married a long time begin to look and act like one another? A little scary, but that's what happens. And you begin to think alike because you've been together for so long. That's the way we are. We're family. And we should share the same heart. That doesn't mean we think the same and we act the same, but it means that at the soul, at the core, we share the same values and what we want for the church is the same. We went to Italy when we were on our 25th wedding anniversary, and it was the greatest experience of my life. I loved it. And I know, and it sounds kind of corny, but as we were walking through Italy, and I'm only like less than 50%, like a quarter Italian. I mean, I know that's true. But there was something about being in Italy. Because first of all, the people looked almost as good looking as me, number one, all right? Number two, they all talked like this. I can remember we were in that glass factory. I remember we were buying some glass off of Venice in Murano. And we didn't speak any Italian. They didn't speak any English. We somehow communicated. And I think it was all through, not sign language, but hand language. And it was like I felt connected to the place. And as believers in Christ, we are family, so we should feel this connection to one another. We have a common name. We have a common home. We're all going to the same place. We're going to heaven when we die, to be with our Heavenly Father. And we should have the same concerns. Listen, when one of my kids calls and they have a burden or a concern, guess what? It's our concern. If one of the grandkids had a bad day at school, guess what? Nani and Poppy, we hurt. You know why? Because they're family. And I don't like to see anybody in pain, and you know, some of you are going through deep waters, and I pray for you, and I feel for you, but if I'm being honest, if it's between you and one of my family members, family first, baby. That's the way it is, isn't it? Now, I love you, and I care about this, and you're my church family here, but you know what? This is my, I mean, I've invested my whole life in this group of people, and some of you have been here for a long time. This is your family. And we need to share one another's burdens and concerns. And oh, by the way, I think Christians are pretty good at bearing one another's burdens. You know what we're not good at? Sharing in others' joys. Somebody gets a new car. Instead of rejoicing with them, we are kind of envious of that. Or they get a better job. Or they get a better house. And instead of rejoicing with those who rejoice, we rejoice with those who weep, and we weep with those who rejoice. That's not what family does, folks. Got to move on. Families stay together. Families, that's their number one priority. And may I say to you that, you know, there's going to be times when things happen in this church that you're not going to like and you're not going to love. May I just say to you, remember, we're family, and we're not a perfect family. Number two, not only should we emphasize relationship when we think about the church as a family, but we also should emphasize this notion of reciprocity. Look what he says. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Reciprocity means to reciprocate. It means one hand washes the other. It's the idea of this one another here in this text here that's actually used twice. This emphasizes the idea that as a family, we should have mutual concerns and we should have mutual joys and we should mutually watch out for one another. And if somebody does something for us, not in a bad way, but if somebody, you know, we want to do it for them, one another. This phrase, one another, is all through the New Testament. I have actually a whole bunch of messages I could preach on this, and maybe we will someday, but I'm just going to give you the text where this is used. Romans 12:5, we are members of one another. Here in Romans 12:10, we are to be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10, we are to esteem the other one or give honor to prefer one another. We are to, in James 5, confess our faults to one another. In Colossians 3, we are to bear with one another. Romans 15:1, we are to accept one another. Romans 15:14, we are to admonish one another. In Romans 15:5, we are to have the same mind as one another. Galatians chapter 6, we are to bear each other's burdens. And in Galatians 5, we are to serve one another. Do you see a pattern? God is telling us that as the church family, we are to work with one another. We're not always on the receiving end. And some of you do a great job coming here every Sunday and soaking it in. Guess what? It's time to give it back. The church isn't a place where we just sit and soak. It's a place where we're supposed to serve. And serve one another. In other words, in the family of God and in all relationships, it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. It's give and take. Listen, you don't stay married for a long period of time with one person doing all the giving. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, you have to work together. And it means sometimes you do things that you don't necessarily want to do because you love the other person and you care about them. And they do lots of things for you. It's one another. And here in this church, we have people that give and give and give and give. But you know what the problem with that is? If no one ever gives back to them, pretty soon they're going to dry out. Or give up. Or get tired. That happens to pastors, by the way. May I just say to you, whenever you do get a pastor, whoever he is, you know, I mean, he's here to serve you, but you're also here to serve him and his family. It's one another. You know, too often we have the old Burger King mentality. We like to have it our way. You know, we want the service our way. We want the preaching our way. We want the times our way. We want the music our way. Listen, it's not about you. And sometimes you get what you want and sometimes you don't. Give and take, back and forth, reciprocity. That's the key to making relationships work. You know, the Bible uses the metaphor of the body to describe the relationship between Christ and the church and between the members of the body. I want to tell you something. Wherever these feet go, guess what? The rest of the body goes. But the feet need the hands to put the shoes on. And the hands need the eyes to find the shoes to put the shoes on the feet. And the nose needs to go like, no, you know, and the nose is involved. And the ears. And the brain. You see, the body has to work together. And every part of the body works for the good of the body. It's not for the good of itself. Now, sometimes, in my case, the mouth seems to work on the good of its own, all right? And not always for the good of the body. Amen, Christian? There you go. And that's when the foot goes from being a foot into the inserting into the mouth, all right? But you get what I'm saying. The body has to work together. Because every part of the body is relying on the other part of the body to do its thing. It's the same in the body of Christ. It's the same in the family of God. We need to work together. We are not independent agents in the church. We are interdependent. We are first and foremost dependent on the Lord. And second of all, we are interdependent upon one another. We are connected to one another. Look at it says in chapter 12, verse 5, or verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And then he says this, having gifts that differ according to the grace that is given us, let's use them. Obviously, I'm a mouth. I mean, it's not hard to figure out. And the thing with the mouth is, you know, the mouth is a prominent part of the body. But the mouth is not the most important part of the body. I mean, think about it. If I was all mouth, and you may think I am, but if I was all mouth, I mean, I would look kind of funny. Did you ever see a XXX pound mouth? No. The mouth is part of the head, which is on the neck, which is on the torso, which are on the legs and has the arms and all the internal stuff going on there. And the same thing. So some of you may not be a mouth. Some of you are the eyes. Some of you are the ears. Some of you are the hands. Some of you are the feet. Some of you are the heart. Well, Jesus is the head, but you're the heart. You keep things pumping. But all parts are important. And this is especially important now while you're in transition. But it's also important when your pastor comes on board. Because we need to make the priority what's best, not for me, not for what I want, but what's best for the family. Reciprocity. Give and take, back and forth. Serve and be served. Number three, The relationship needs to be remembered. The notion of reciprocity needs to be always in our minds, that it's a give and take relationship in the family. But then there are also some responsibilities, verses 10 and following. Now today, after we're done, and now, by the way, don't get mad at me. I have been told many times that I am not to hang around talking to you this morning, all right? But I'm to take my family, and they want us to be at the front of the line in the food deal over there, all right? And if you want to see me, come and watch us while we're stuffing our faces, all right? That's what they told us. I mean, they must know that I'm a talker, and I'll get yakking to everybody, and then we'll be the last in the line, all right? But I want you to know, when you go over there today, you're going to see some men in semi-white shirts, all right? And they'll have a name tag on them. And these are your deacons. And the deacons, I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes in Baptist churches, we think the word deacon means boss. But actually, the word deacon comes from the Greek word diakones, which means servant. And the deacons wanted to show you, first of all, they wanted you to know who they are, because they're here to serve you. And so they thought, what better way to show you that they want to serve you than by serving you in the meal today? So I want to give them a hand for that today, all right? Oh, is that the best you can do? They're going to serve you. And, you know, make sure they get time to eat themselves, otherwise they get a little, you know, cranky, all right? But, you know, the deacons are going to be serving you, and they'll have name tags, and I don't know if their spouses will be serving or what, but it doesn't matter. But they wanted to show you that as a deacon of this church, they are here to serve you. Now, they'll also serve you in 2 weeks when we do communion. And sometimes I think that's the only kind of connection we think with our deacons is, well, they're the guys that hand out communion. No, they're more than that. They're here to serve you, to pray with you, to help you any way that they can. They are kind of your connection to this body. And they really are concerned about that. They want to make sure that you know who they are, not because they want to be praised and thanked, but they want to be able to help you to the best of their ability. And so you need to know who they are if they're going to be able to help you. And so I think it's an awesome idea. Thank you, Lord. That's amen. Thank the deacons. Now, if they spill on you, all bets are off, all right? All bets are off. Now, for some of these guys, I don't really know, but I'm going to take a wild guess at this. This will be the first time they ever served anybody anything in their whole life, all right? And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. You see, because when we're part of a family, we have responsibilities. And we won't go unpack all these, but you can read verses, you know, 11 all the way through. He says, not lagging in diligence and rejoicing in hope and distributing to the needs of the saints and giving the hospitality and blessing those who persecute you and rejoicing and so on and so on and so forth. You see, it's great to be part of a family. It's great. But in our family, at least, you don't just get to enjoy all the benefits of the family, you also have to help out once in a while. Because the only way a family can work is if everybody does their share. And some of you are great at enjoying the perks of being part of this great family. But it's time for you to get off your seats and start serving somebody else. We have responsibilities to do that. Now, what are our responsibilities? He says in verse 10, we have a responsibility to love one another. He said, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We won't unpack all of this morning, but what that means is without bitterness, without resentment, but doing so, having the needs of others above the needs of our own. We need to take seriously the relationship of being in the family and all of the responsibilities that come along with that. And there are a lot of responsibilities. You know, we've heard this before. There's a difference between being a father and being a dad. There's many men who have father children, but they're not dads. And there's fewer, but there are still some women that have birthed children, but they're not moms. Listen, Take it from me. We've been doing this for going on 36 years. Being a parent's a lot of work. It doesn't get easier when the kids grow up and move out. They just get more expensive. And in all seriousness, the stakes are higher. But you know what? This is why they don't tell you when you're 22, this is what you're going to get when you have all these kids, right? Because nobody'd ever have them. But being in a family, there's responsibility that goes with that. And we know that with our biological families, but we forget that with our church family. You know, somebody has to shovel the walks around here. They just didn't magically disappear, the snow. Somebody has to warm this building. Somebody has to fill that tank. Somebody has to clean the tank out. Somebody has to wash the towels. Somebody has to prepare those meals. Somebody has to do all of these things. Somebody has to come up here and lead worship and sing and practice. Somebody has to teach Sunday school. Somebody has to go back into the nursery and in the children's programs. And you just come in and you sit down and you just soak it all in and you eat some food. And maybe you went to Walmart and bought a $3 pack of rolls and thought, I've done my thing today, you know. And you go on your merry way. No. With family comes responsibility. Not only responsibility to love, but he also says a responsibility to be loyal. Verse, he says, be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. One of the things, this is probably one of the defining characteristics in me personally. One of my most important attributes, one of my most important values that I hold is loyalty. I do not have time for people who are disloyal. People who take and never give. People who stab you in the back. And here we see that Paul tells us that in the family, we need to be devoted to one another. To be loyal to one another. It's all part of the attitude that we need to have. We need to take seriously our family relationship and all the responsibilities that come with it. You know, when we first started having kids, I didn't know all what was going to be involved, but I knew it was going to be a major responsibility. And it has been. It's been a lot of work. Great. It's been a blessing, and it's been great having a family, but it's a lot of work. And, you know, there are times, and I think I told you this a couple weeks ago, and I heard this in a sermon, and someone asked this man that had been married 50 years, what's the key? What's the key to a long-term marriage? He said, coming home every night. And what's the key to, you know, raising a family and staying in your marriage? It's coming home and doing the things that aren't always easy to do. And sucking it up and putting your needs second and third and fourth. And we know that's true in our biological families. Guess what? It's also true in the church family. I am not here to please myself. I'm here to serve Christ and his body. Number four. The family demands a focus on the relationship. A family demands reciprocity, the notion of give and take back and forth, that the family needs to understand that there are responsibilities involved in being part of the family. And finally, the family needs to hold respect as a value. Verse 10, he says, be kindly affectionate to one another, be devoted to one another, be loyal to one another, with brotherly love, and in honor, give preference to one another. I love this phrase. In the Greek, it means to assist one another, or to use a word that you probably even are more familiar with, it's the word of an accompanist. So yeah, back in the day, you know, when I used to watch basketball, there was a guy that played for the 76ers, his name was Bobby Jones. And he was called the ultimate sixth man because he didn't score many points and he didn't have many rebounds, but he would always lead the team in the league in assists. And assist means that you're going down the court and your teammate's going down the court and you may have a shot, but your teammate has a better shot, so you pass the ball to him or her and they get the glory because they get the points. There's no glory in assisting. Or the same thing with someone who accompanies. You know, we hear the soloist and we hear the people that are doing the singing, but the accompanist plays in the background. And we may or may not, in fact, and Kim, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the key to a good accompanist is not to make themselves look good, it's to make the soloist look good. Because you're there to accompany them. And that's the word that he's using here. Our job in this family is to put others above ourselves. This is not about flattery, but selfish respect for one another. We saw this a couple of weeks ago. Remember on Super Bowl Sunday when I put my blue bowl there? And where Jesus put aside his own interests and his own positionality, and he did the hard work of washing the feet of the disciples. And so he didn't just ask us to show respect for one another. He set an example that we are to follow. Listen, being a part of a family is like the best thing that can happen to you. It's great to know I can go home every night and my wife is there. It's great to know that the kids will come. It's also great to know that they'll eventually leave. It's great to be part of a family. And God has given us the privilege of being part of his family. So here's my question today to you. Number one, are you part of his family? Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your heart? Do you know that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? If not, we're going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to join God's family. Second, have you ever made it public that you are part of God's family? That's what baptism is all about. We had 8 people today, today go through the waters of baptism to testify to all of you that they are part of God's family and they are part of this church family. Amen. And if you've never done that, you need to do that too. And thirdly, are you part of this family? And by that I mean, have you joined? Have you signed your name on the dotted line? And it doesn't really mean that, you know, you have to mortgage your house or anything, all right? Don't worry. But it does mean that you're willing to put your name on the roll and say, yes, I want to be an official part of the family of Rileyville Baptist Church. If not, what better day to do it than today? And finally, maybe you are part of God's family. Maybe you have identified through baptism that you're part of his family. Maybe you remember this church. Let me ask you this. How you doing when it comes to the responsibilities of being a family member? Let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand right now. In just a moment, George is going to come down and we're going to stand down the front and Tom and Kim are going to come and the worship team are going to come and lead us in a song. But listen, if you're not part of God's family, today is your day. My birthday is November 22nd, 1963. I am 50, if I do my math here, 51 years of age in the Lord. And maybe March 1st, 2015 will be your birthday, the day you were born into God's family. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you need to come down front and just get on your face before the Lord and say, Lord, I've been shirking my family duties, but today I'm going to step up to the plate. Lord, thanks for allowing us to be part of your family. Thanks for taking us as we are. There are no qualifications, no membership fees, no contracts to sign. You have opened up your heart and opened up your home and opened up your family registry so that we can, by faith, join your family simply by believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's never done that, may this be their birthday. Just like Thor said, may they get off their hands, may they come down front, and may they know the joy of celebrating March 1st, 2015 as their birthday when they joined your family. For those of us that may be lax in our responsibilities as family members, Lord, may we make a turn today for the better, and start pulling our end of the load here at this church And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we going to sing, Tom? We're still working that out. And what is it? Tell us what we're singing. Go ahead. What is it? Go ahead.
Whoops.
Hymn books, page 379. Maybe keep your fingers on 282 as well. We might flip over to that too. So, Take My Life.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee.
Last verse. Take my love.
Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee.
Dave and Becky Wilson and CJ and Barbara. I don't know their last name, but it doesn't matter. They want to join this fellowship. Let's give the Lord a hand. I don't know what they have to do. That's why George is here. It's awesome. I believe they've all been baptized. All right. Darn, we can't fill the tank again. That's all right. Listen, we're going to sing one more song, I think, one more chorus. Is that what you're planning on doing? I don't know what you're going to do. We need to sing the family of God. We're going to sing the family of God. And if you want to join, if you've never been saved, if you want to be baptized, this is it. Lunch is ready. We're not going to hang on long, all right? But if you need to come, you come. Lead us, Tom.
Absolutely. 282 if you need your hymn book. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Here we go.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined hands with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.
Fred can be released, so to speak. And anybody in wheelchairs and the baptism people, the ones that were baptized and their families can go ahead and go. But we're going to say our grace first before we're dismissed. Okay, let them be first. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us together, this message this morning on fellowship and family. It was just spot on. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the members that came forward, or the new members that we've got this morning. Father, we thank you for for what they're about to add to this body. And Father, we thank you for the man that came forward here this morning. I can't recall his name. You know his name. And Father, he felt that urge to get off of his hands and to move forward. And to move forward and to be adopted into your family. And Father, we can't do any more than thank you for such a great and momentous occasion. We thank you for that. And Father, as we dismiss and we go back to the kitchen and the fellowship hall to eat, Father, we would just ask for a blessing on the meal. We would ask for your blessing for those who prepared for us and for those who will be serving us today. We mentioned the deacons will be back there serving today. We want to thank you for their steadfast loyalty to your family. The Christ Atlas, as we be expelled today, Father, we would just ask you to be with us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.